years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
From this radio station, welcome. This is the only live radio show on Sunday night. It's us. And you know what we're going to do tonight? We're going to get rid of them. You know who they are. Let's deal with them tonight once and for all. Weather, Dr. Dave. All right, enough of them. We're tired of having to deal with them. We're sick of HR. We're sick of accountants. We're sick of all of that crap. But we love the OJs. The girl got many good loving, yeah. Ask me how I know, and I'm telling you, she used to be my girl. I respect her. When she was mine, I used to neglect her. Oh, she wanted more than you. But in long and in life, what is better than the OJs? When you fall into that pit of despair, when you're looking at your mother-in-law, when you're looking at your sister-in-law, when you're thinking about all of the things that could have been if you had only said yes, you got to think about the OJs.
So smart, you can't beat her again. Oh, ask me how I know, and I'm telling you, she used to be my girl.
That's a hell of a lot better than classic rock. Ooh, classic rock. Ooh, it's a yeah, okay. So you were stoned in high school, you listened to The Doors too much, and now that you're 48, you think classic rock is still the answer. It's not the answer. You look pathetic. Distort, baby, distort. Look at those meters licking the red. They're just licking the red. Dave Scale is just having a heart attack. My God, what's this? Popular music? It can't be.
Girls got plenty of loving, yeah. Ask me how I know. And I'm not
my plan is to destroy Wide Orbit. That's my plan. Not a gun. And I'll tell you, if I get annoyed tonight, if by some fluke you don't call, it's going to be Motown Monday. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be Motown Monday if I don't get what I want. That's it. It'll be Motown Monday. No, I don't scream at the Democrats. This is a different kind of talk show. It's a kind of talk show that I'm not allowed to explain where it came from.
Well, you know, it could age us. It could make the demography very old if you talk about where it came from.
It came from the 60 years of unbelievable success of stations like this. And you won't believe what they did on KMOX, KDKA, KMB. You won't believe what they used to do. You ready? They used to talk about their day. What? What? They didn't yell at the Democrats? No, they used to talk about their day. I'll never forget listening to WOR, the number one radio station in where? North America.
in billing and audience. And at 10:15 in the morning, I hear the host saying, excuse me. I told them not to come here at this time. And she'd go and answer her doorbell, Sterling, every night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Cop arrested, no-show job, people of Walmart. Later, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a Bronx politician's daughter who gets arrested for a stolen vehicle and drugs, and the case mysteriously gets dismissed. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Besides the killings, the Office Gentlemen's Club in Lincoln, Nebraska is awesome. Strippers on the loose later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Larry David.
None of your f***ing business. How about that?
10:16 on the East Coast with Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn night, that's right. We are now on 6 nights a week. 5 nights a week in Philadelphia. If you believe that this show should be on 5 nights a week on this station, you need to get off your butt, send an email to the management owners of this station tomorrow morning, and say, Sterling every damn night. And I want to congratulate Keith Mortensen, who right now is at Brody's Ice Cream in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, with his gorgeous grandchild. Is that your grandchild? It's not clear. But she's adorable. She's enjoying ice cream at Brody's Ice Cream. Keith Mortensen, a loyal Midnight Misfit, and we are very grateful to you. So what's this? What? What is this? Oh, my God. 50,000 watt signals throughout the country, clear to heaven. What's in heaven? Oh, that's right. Rush Limbaugh is dead. He's in heaven. Rush, can you hear the station? Hello, Rush.
I hear you loud and clear, Walter. It's good to be here on Sunday night, my friend. How are you?
Rush, I am humbled and honored to have the same manager as you do. And I'm humbled and honored to be able to speak to you. But that is the magic of AM radio. All these idiots in Congress are going, well, you know, we need it in case there's a hurricane. No, we need it because it gets the signal out. Right, Rush?
Well, it's amazing, Walter, that you can reach the heavens where I am, but wide orbit does not work. I don't get it. But that is the business we chose as a said in Godfather 2.
Well, it's worse than that. They can control a rover on Mars with radio signals, but I can't get a cell phone signal in my TV room.
It's unbelievable, my friends. You know, a man once said to me at 1210 WPHD, where you're broadcasting from, cell phones will be great once they are actually invented.
The fact is that every cell phone call ends with these words. Hello? Seems like an incomplete system. Now, I have to ask you about this verdict this week of your close friend Donald Trump. In heaven, are there cheers? Because those are very good people in heaven. Is there cheers? What's the reaction in heaven to President Trump being railroaded?
Well, my friend, the reaction to many people here, including my good friend Ronald Reagan, William F. Buckley, and various others, says it will not stop Donald Trump, my friends. Now, there are some Democrats up here who are celebrating, but they may be heading downward, if you get my drift.
I'm just shocked there are Democrats there.
Well, my friends, heaven is a place that's open to everybody, and up here, everybody agrees with me. So there is a good thing. But the only thing we do agree on is that we enjoy Sterling every damn night, 6 nights a week, my friend. That's a lot of radio to be doing.
It's a lot of radio to be doing. But the fact is, you know, there are talk radio shows that go for like 5 hours. How the hell do they do those shows? How do you prep for 5 hours?
Well, my friend, you just prep and you just find things. You find this, you find that, you find things that you're passionate about. And I have said this to you before, I will keep saying it again. you talking about the Democrats will not work on your show, my friend. But when you talk about HR, when you talk about great music, great radio stations, that's what works for you. And don't forget to buy my book. I'm right, you're wrong, deal with it.
Rush Limbaugh in heaven, I hope our signal reaches you once again. Thank you for being on Sterling.
Oh, it is, Walter. Thank you always
thank
for having
you.
Me on.
No. Thank you, Rush Limbaugh. Thank you.
We're guys. We keep a little bird under my pillow for the birdman. In case he comes to town.
What?
A little bird under my pillow for the birdman. So he won't take me down to his lair deep under the mountain.
What are you talking about?
Underground. That's where he keeps his dirt.
That is the threat of TikTok. That is it. One of the TikTok songs. That is the great threat to our democracy. Dirt Man. That's one of the big hits on TikTok right now. Put dirt under your pillow. I am the Dirt Man. It's 10:21 on the East Coast with Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. It's a beautiful night in our great country. You and I get to drive across 80, 95. It's incredible to be here. But remember, if I don't like the way things are going, gee, you know, it's going to be Motown Monday. That's what's going to happen. All right, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. You know what? I celebrate Pride Month. I'm very proud of my children as a breeder. I'm very proud of my beautiful wife. And I am very proud of my friends who were born gay. But I have a strong feeling. I lived in Manhattan, in Lower Manhattan, in New York City. Excuse me, above a gay bar for at least 15 years. I like right above a gay bar. And I could walk a block or two to CBGB's. I could walk to St. Mark's Place. I very much was part of the community, appreciated the community, respect the community. Not an issue. But there are two things. And Jerry Williams, a great talk show host in Boston, was the first to point this out. Jerry Williams went on the air, and he said, you know, I'm totally supportive of all gay rights. You want to get married, be miserable, like man and woman, go right ahead. No problem. But Jerry on the air, I wish I had a recording of this, Jerry on the air said, gays have no sense of humor about themselves. That's what he said. Gays have no sense of humor about themselves. And oh my gosh, you know, the Gay Rights Coalition of Boston, he was on WRKO in Boston, Gay Rights Coalition of Boston was furious, and he said, well, send a representative up, let's put him on the air. President of the Gay Rights Association in Boston came to the Jerry Williams show, and well, Jerry goes, well, ladies and gentlemen, here with the president of the Gay Rights Commission of Boston. Great to be with you, President. All right, I have a question for you. Head of the Gay Rights Commission in Boston, tell me a joke. In my opinion, having been a supporter all my life, No issues here, buddy. But I'm a good promoter. I understand show business. I understand how people see things. I don't think the parades do the gay rights movement any good. It may be a fun day. It may be terrific for eating hot dogs. But I do not think that it does the movement much good. Because if you look at middle-aged people who are way overweight in skimpy outfits with their bellies hanging out, and strange makeup, and you bring your 12-year-old to that, that kid's going to get scared and spooked and confused. I don't think it does any good. And I have enough gay friends that I've said this to, and I said, what is this? You know, I don't think this is doing you any good. And usually at some point they agree.
Just wanted to wish the LGBTQ plus community a happy Pride Month. Enjoy, but don't forget to thank a straight person for your existence.
Fourth of July, the greatest scene in any movie ever. That terrible movie called The In Crowd about the dance show on TV in Philadelphia after Dick Clark's. The one that after Dick Clark's, starring Jennifer Runyon and Donovan's kid, Donovan Leach. Starring Donovan's kid and Jennifer Runyon. We have to get Jennifer Runyon on this show. Because her father, Jim Runyon, was a world-class great disc jockey, one of the great top 40 disc jockeys who ever lived. And he invented a character that was very big in radio. Oh, because we settle for so much. He was very big in radio. He invented the character known as Chicken Man. It really doesn't get better than that. Big top 40 disc jockey out of Chicago. Chicagoland. We used to be on WLS, remember? Until Cumulus, a company named after a thundercloud, lost its sense of humor. What the hell is wrong with you? What do you want? Something less? Is that what you settled for? Something less? Why can't you be like Odyssey? iHeart. Why can't you think like Chris Oliveiro? Greg Stocker? Even Jeff Sotolano, if he ever answered his phone. 27 past the hour with Sterling every damn night. Every damn night. But we have to get Jennifer Runyon on the show because Jennifer, she played the ingenue, the pretty one in Charles in Charge. And if you're not careful, I'll start playing that theme over and over again. I'm going to have to do that after the news, aren't I? She had these two seminal roles. She was in The In Crowd. She played the girlfriend in The In Crowd. And she kissed Donovan Leach's son over this very phrase. And it is. When the Marvelettes sing that phrase, it is just like the 4th of July. And this is the magic time of year. This is when the sap flows. This is when you can fall in love with a banister. This is the time of year. I grew up in northern New Jersey in a suburb that was pregnant with hormones and horniness and romance. And it was a magnificent place to grow up. It was great to be a teenager. And it was a beautiful, safe community. And I used to sit there on warm spring nights like this with the windows open and the big box fan in the window, and I would dream of you, Sterling, every night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
The three of you tried to be roommates. It didn't work out, and now you're bothering us.
You're right, Your Honor.
You're right. I know I'm right. So let's deal with this quickly and expeditiously because it's sushi day today.
Wow, he did it perfectly. How the hell did that happen? 10:36 from this station, ladies and gentlemen, from this damn station. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling every damn night. There's Selena and Stephen of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. And the great thing is, I don't know, what was that sound? The great thing is that this is baking porn, because I know what they're going to present tonight. I know the recipe that they're going to make available to all of us, and how dare they? how dare you present that recipe with the pictures, which you'll also get with the recipe, to those of us who are mortal. Selena, reveal the recipe.
Hi, Walter. So tonight's recipe is really exciting. It's a chocolate pudding pie with graham cracker crust and whipped cream. Nothing's more seasonally appropriate than that, I think. And it's actually a little bit special for me. It's my mom's chocolate pudding recipe, so it's a family recipe. It's really good. It's got a really nice chocolate flavor. It's rich, but it's not too heavy. So it's perfect for the summertime, and you don't have to really bake too much, except for the crust.
How long does it take to make start to finish?
Start to finish, I would say probably an hour and a half. If you take your time to make it, including the bake time, and then it does need an additional hour probably to refrigerate. You could put it in the freezer if you want to do it quickly, though.
How long does it take to eat?
Definitely a lot less than that, probably 2 minutes or less if you're a professional pie eater like me.
Now, you and Steve have a romantic relationship beyond your professional relationship. This, of course, causes strife at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. How is the strife coming along?
Coming along as it usually does. Nothing's happened since we last talked about it specifically, but it's just, you know, the usual. It's just kind of there. It's just present. It's a little bit looming, but nothing really has happened since then.
Would you say that you get more of a hard time from the women at JB Bakery or the men?
So it's hard to answer that question fairly because there are more women at JB Bakery than there are men. So I don't know, like, there are more women who give me a hard time, but that might just be because the employees are skewed.
It has been my experience that in the workplace, women are much worse to other women than men are to women. And I'll never forget, I was at a New York City FM radio station. I'm in the newsroom. One of the anchors is a woman. And I said to her, they have this opening. I think it'd be great if we hired Lisa. Silence. And she looks at me. She says, no, I'm the woman here. And I'm like, okay, so don't give me any of this crap about equal opportunity and equal pay if you don't want to help another woman get a really good job. That was my first exposure. I was 20. That was my first exposure to women in the workplace, and I saw it ever after. And where you really see it is at an airline. At an airline, women are the worst to women passengers. No woman passenger is going to get a break from a flight attendant. Isn't going to happen. And even though it's Pride Month, it isn't going to happen. And I saw it over and over again. Meanwhile, I show up in a suit and tie with clean shoes, and I'll get a lobster to eat. Whatever you want, Mr. Sterling, no problem. Oh, you want a better seat? You want to sit with the captain? That's okay. Meanwhile, they treat women horribly. They would deny it, but I've seen it over and over and over again. I'll bet you anything, Selena, and I want you to keep track of this, that the women at JB Bakery are going to give you a harder time. And Steve's sitting there going, oh, no, everybody's going to get along. We're all going to get along. It doesn't work that way, Steve.
I agree with you, Walter. It's a little tough, but Lena and I are having a lot of fun with a lot of new things. We're doing a lot of new marketing, so we're having fun promoting our products, and she knows the job better than any of them, so they're probably a threat. They're threatened. That's what it is.
Now, Steve, which product are you pushing right now that you're really proud of? Is it those cream puffs? Because those are incredible. In fact, you don't even have to bake those. Just keep re-releasing that photo, sending it out every other day. People will be thrilled.
Yeah, right now for the weekend, we made the strawberry and cream donuts. They're really popular because they're filled with whipped cream, and the strawberries are fresh and local, so that's really great because we're supporting the local farms.
Exactly.
We're going to get ready for Father's Day, too.
All right. Well, we'll talk about Father's Day later. All right, this is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday. coming up.
Cop arrested, no-show job, people of Walmart, later, Sterling at Night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a Bronx politician's daughter who gets arrested for a stolen vehicle and drugs, and the case mysteriously gets dismissed. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Besides the killings, the Office Gentlemen's Club in Lincoln, Nebraska is awesome. Strippers on the Loose, later, Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Amy Robach.
I have chosen love in my life, and I'm very excited about that path. I'm living my truth. There has been a price to pay, but I'm excited about the future.
When did you start figuring out your sexuality?
Early college. Yeah. As old as time. It's classic.
Is it?
It's classic. Is it? Isn't it?
I guess.
Girls go to college and are like, I experimented or whatever.
Well, you play Ava in Hacks. She's bi. She's like very much, I'm bi.
Totally.
And because.
Which we tend to kind of do.
You do?
I mean, hard to not. It's such a big part of who we are.
Yeah.
As queers, you know.
We're guys. We
keep a little dirt under my pillow for the birdman. In case he comes to town.
What?
Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the birdman. So he won't take me down to his lair.
Dirt. 1048 East Coast, 748 West Coast, Walter M. Sterling. This is called Sterling Every Damn Night. There's this really stupid thing about to happen. A committee representing creditors owed money by Rudy Giuliani has announced the intention to subpoena billionaire businessman John Catsimatidis over his financial relationship with the former New York City mayor. John Catsimatidis suspended Giuliani from his radio station, WABC, a conservative, you think, leaning talk radio station owned by Catsimatidis, after Donald Trump's former lawyer continued making discredited claims, questioning the validity, blah, blah, blah. That's what we're supposed to do as Americans. We're supposed to question everything. We're supposed to question the validity of everything. Notably, the tolls. The tolls on the highways, that's what we're specifically supposed to question because they're corrupt. They're illegal. They shouldn't exist. But I have to tell you two things. I worked for this John Catsimatidis at WABC, the owner of WABC. I have been in too many radio stations. From the age of 15 until now, a few years later, I have lived my life in radio stations. I understand the language of a radio station, the rhythm of a station, how to walk in a station, when to talk, when not to talk, an interesting cultural phenomena. For example, if you're using those stupid earbuds or if you're using headphones and your kid comes up to you and wants to talk to you, odds are you don't take them off. Odds are you don't lower anything. You just keep listening and hoping that they understand you're doing something very important, that TikTok audio is very important to you. You hope. But in a radio station where people wear headphones for a living, the minute somebody walks into that production room or studio, those headphones are snapped off. We snap them off, and we pay attention to the human being who just came in. That's part of the culture. We treat the receptionist with profound respect because he can ruin or make our career in 2 seconds. But the most interesting thing about the culture of a radio station, which I don't think is true of any other, no, it's not fair, but it's true of very few other industries. That's a diet cherry 7-Up. therefore that takes precedent over you. If I have a dietary 7-Up, that's going to win. The most interesting thing about the culture of a radio station is we work until it's done. People at a radio station work until the job's done. And a great example, 2 weeks ago, Frank Canal at WPHT in Philadelphia, at Odyssey Philadelphia, he's the operations manager of that station. Frank stayed with my local five-night-a-week show till midnight, two nights in a row, just because that's what you do. I didn't ask him to do that. I'd never ask him to do that, but he did because he wanted to make sure that everything was okay. That's what we do in radio. I was on WABC many, many times, and I was on every Saturday night for months and months, thanks to Chad Lopez, the general manager, and John Katsimatidis. The minute I walked into John Katsimatidis' radio station, I knew I was in a successful, happy business. I could feel it. The people there were happy. They all knew what they had to do. They were proud of what they had to do. And the owner, John Katsimatidis, who owns pretty much every supermarket in New York City and an oil refinery in Pennsylvania, what stroke of genius that is, I don't know, but he owns an oil refinery in Pennsylvania. He's usually at WABC. He does a show at WABC every day, Katz's Roundtable, where he brings in hot shots and he talks to them. They talk to him. He had run for mayor. Katsimatidis had run for mayor of New York City. And Giuliani had supported the wrong guy and apologized forever. Bill de Blasio apologized forever to Katsimatidis, pretty much said I should have supported John Katsimatidis. Big mistake. Now Giuliani gets a show on WABC. This is, what, a year and a half ago. He gets an hour-long show, does it from his office, nice show. And now these idiots are coming after Katsimatidis to understand the financial relationship between Giuliani and Katsimatidis. Pause. I was in New York City, in Manhattan, across from the Police Training Academy on 9/11. I was there. I saw millions of people hit the streets covered in dust, covered in disgust, walking up Third Avenue for miles to get away from Lower Manhattan. And I saw another miracle. I saw Rudy Giuliani save that city. I saw Rudy Giuliani talk to New Yorkers the way only a real mayor could talk to New Yorkers. And he said, we're in charge. You're going to be safe. Go to a play. Go to a restaurant. Carry on your business. Because New York City is business. And he knew how to talk to us and calm us. And he came on the air regularly on radio and television. In fact, from the park across from the police academy. And he explained what was going on. He stayed calm. He was professional. He knew what to do. And he's the only mayor in my lifetime that could have done that. He was brilliant. Respected. They called him the mayor of America, and he was. John Katsimatidis is a great radio station operator. Do you know why? Because he loves radio. Oh my gosh, does he love that station? And he knows how to manage, and he knows how to make people feel good about their job, and he knows how to reward, and he knows how to say, hey, look, don't do that. And there's always food there. That's the best thing about WABC. There's always food there. I never was in a happier radio station than WABC, owned by John Katsimatidis. Meanwhile, by the way, I also was on WABC in New York before John owned it, when it was owned by a thundercloud. And I'll never forget the first time I walked into that lobby to go on the air under the prior ownership, door opens. This huge guy comes out wearing all black, looks at me, and says, "You better not give me any more effing work." That was my greeting before Mr. Katsimatidis. And then when I was on the air for an hour or so, I went into the control room and I said, "How's it sound?" And the control board operator was playing Candy Crush. And he looked at me and goes, "Well, you're no worse than Sid, the morning man." I'm like, what? John Katsimatidis does not deserve an investigation of his relationship with Giuliani. Nobody needs to be poking through his finances. You and I should have finances like the billionaire John Katsimatidis. A great man, a good guy. I am grateful for every second that I was on that station. When people say, "Are you still on it?" go, "No, you don't understand. I was on once. That's enough. In fact, I was on many, 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 many times." And you can hear those shows if you click WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, and click Listen to Show. And one of the tabs is every show I've ever done on WABC. And also every show I've done for you tonight. You can share it with your close friends who say, "I'm not up on Sunday night. I can't listen to that show." They can listen to the show. It's on the website, WalterSterlingShow.com. Click Listen to Show. Oh, my gosh. But don't bother Mr. Katsimatidis. How stupid is that? It's just stupid. All right, let's you and I talk. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, Sterling, every night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goldblum.
I'm going to get you a special pass, you Midnight Misfit, so that you never have to talk to the HR department again. Does that sound like a good plan? Plus, I have astonishing Father's Day information. All of that and you. Now, weather, meteorologist, Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Cop arrested, no-show job, people of Walmart. Later, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a Bronx politician's daughter who gets arrested for a stolen vehicle and drugs, and the case mysteriously gets dismissed. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Besides the killings, the Office Gentlemen's Club in Lincoln, Nebraska is awesome. Strippers on the loose later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688. WALT.
We're guys. We
keep a little dirt under my pillow for the Birdman. In case he comes to town.
What?
Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the Birdman. So he won't take me down to his lair.
I have no content to post today, so I thought I would say, hey, say it back.
Yes, that's the threat of TikTok. One of the biggest, most popular songs on TikTok right now, Dirt Man. And then one of the most popular content creators saying that she has no content today.
Hi. I have no content to post today, so I thought I would say, hey, say it back.
There's the threat from China, ladies and gentlemen. The threat from China, that's TikTok. Now, I will tell you that my daughters and I spend, and my wife, we all spend way too much time on TikTok. And what are we watching? Stupid videos. 2-3 minute stupid videos that mean nothing. Help us in no way, inform us in no way, and provide us with fascinating songs like that. That Jennifer Lopez, she's very annoying, right? Here's Jennifer Lopez being shown in a private showing, in a private gallery, a piece of clothing that she might consider wearing. This is Jennifer's polite and sweet reaction.
This is not what I want. This looks like a dead chicken.
It looks like a dead chicken. Say that again, Jennifer.
This is not what I want. This looks like a dead chicken.
Yep, you can see how anybody'd want to work for Jennifer. Now, why is my computer doing that? You know, I just love working on this and taking you along with me. Oh, my God.
Earlier this year, a flight attendant asked the star if she wanted to drink something during a flight, and J-Lo didn't even look at him. Instead, she turned to her personal assistant and said, "Please tell him I'd like a Diet Coke and lime."
And yet more evidence about Jennifer Lopez.
We also both attended an all-girls Catholic high school in an Irish and Italian neighborhood. So you weren't running up and down the block. You know damn well you were sitting next to Megan Farley and Christine Marchetti in class. Why are you lying? Please stop using us to look human. We are sick of you. You don't do for us. Keep our names out of your mouth. We're not running up and down the block. Not all of us do that for kicks. You're stupid. Stop using us to look human.
One of her fellow classmates in her high school, not happy with Jennifer Lopez trying to appear to be like a normal person. Jennifer, you're not a normal person, but let me share something with you. I believe that as annoying as Jennifer Lopez can be, and as many times as she has been married, that the problem is more likely Ben Affleck. First of all, have you ever seen Ben randomly smiling when the paparazzi TMZ catch him? Does he ever seem to be randomly smiling? No, he always looks miserable. He's always looking over there, looking away, doesn't like anything. He has a real wife. His real wife's name is Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner is raising his children, sending them to private school, doing whatever they have to do to give the kid a normal life. Oh, my gosh. Ben never seems to spend any one-on-one time with the kid because he's very busy taking care of Jennifer. However, we know from TMZ and The Inquirer and other solid sources that Ben may have an addictive gambling problem. And he's a drunk. He goes to rehab a lot. If he has fallen off the wagon, if he has slipped, if he's drinking, there's no way that marriage can work. Alcohol is Teflon for a relationship, Teflon for a friendship, Teflon for a marriage. It's not going to work. All right, this is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by worthless podcasts.
Hey, guys, here's a couple tricks that will help you when you're growing tomatoes this year.
It's the people at Walmart on Sterling at night.
Everyone wants a no-show job. You get paid no matter what. You do nothing for that money. And money keeps showing up in your pocket. And you look at that direct deposit and you're just making some money. New Orleans police officer Christopher Jennings had such a job. Well, not really such a job. He just didn't show up for it, but put in for the hours. He was arrested Friday afternoon after investigators said he was paid for Walmart security on details that he never worked. Jennings, while employed as a senior police officer for the New Orleans Police Department, allegedly failed to show up to six details he was scheduled to work at three separate Walmart locations across the city. Still, detectives say he got paid for the work. Now, Jennings would call in his presence and sign off, but he would never be present for the shift itself. In fact, they went and did that locator for his vehicle. It was at his home. Those Walmarts, not as safe, obviously, with no police officer there. The Public Integrity Bureau Internal Review Board says it used surveillance footage to confirm that Jennings never was at his details, making extra money. A license plate reader on Jennings' take-home patrol car revealed that he was often in Jefferson Parish and when he was supposed to be on duty in Orleans Parish. Okay, there you go. We've got a bad cop off the street. Police officers, we love you. You do amazing things. You keep us safe, and we love you for it. Freelance gigs. Show up. And if you don't go, don't put in your money to get paid. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Rules, Sterling, at night.
As you and I are headed toward the third shift, the late shift, I'm Walter M. Sterling. We work together. This is a three-shift radio show, a three-shift country. You're in the lobby of that office building. You're a security guard starting up the FedEx truck at the loading dock. A public service bus driver. Welcome. Headed to the hospital for the third shift. A great doctor dealing with the incredible life and death decisions that you're going to have to make today. I respect you. And what they don't understand, what the day people don't understand, is that you and I choose to work at this time. This is our time. This is where the misfits gather, where we don't fit in outside of this time, but we fit in here. We know that we're looking at a life of nothing in the vending machine, nobody from corporate visiting us. That's one of the many blessings. The coffee maker filthy, burnt. Somebody left the plate on. Oh, where is the coffee? Oh, it's in that cabinet that's locked. Why would they lock that? Why do you need to lock up coffee? Why do you need to lock up coffee? What is wrong with you? You don't lock up coffee. And that wacky honor system sandwich thing. You take a sandwich out of the refrigerator and you're supposed to pay for it. I forgot my money. They're going to come and find you. If you're working for a $1 billion company, they should take the sandwiches to you, unwrap them in front of you, ask them if you want more mayonnaise or mustard, and hand you a free soda. That's what a $1 billion company is supposed to be doing for us. And instead, they have these draconian cafeterias where all the food is, you can reach in and get it, but then you're supposed to be an honor system and paying for it. And there are more cameras around you than at a casino to make sure that that sandwich is secure. You can't not be secure with that sandwich, my friend. 11:20 on the East Coast, 7:20 on the West Coast. Good evening. This is Sterling every damn night. Now, here's the information that you wanted. By the way, if you want to send me an email, I answer my emails. I'm not like I'm not vamping. I'm actually trying to remember all the hundreds of people don't answer their emails. Jeff Sottolano and Brian Phillips. Oh, Brian, are you something? Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are dealing with some problems. While Bennifer, what is stupid? That's stupid. Do you and your significant other have a brand name? While Bennifer has been married for almost 2 years. Woo-woo! A source tells Entertainment Tonight they went back into their relationship hoping that any past issues wouldn't repeat themselves, namely that he wouldn't get drunk or that she wouldn't be a bitch. But unfortunately, some of them are. Some of them are. Yeah. And you know, there's a photo of them on Entertainment Tonight on their website, and it says Ben and Jen don't want to get divorced and are saying they won't, but their relationship is simply not working at this point. Whenever you see a picture of the two of them, they look mean. Both of them look mean. And they don't look at each other. They're not looking at each other all happy. He looks at Jennifer Garner all happy. What did you do wrong? Oh, you did a lot wrong, Ben. She kicked you out. You were the one who misbehaved. Sue at 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Sue, welcome to Sterling every damn night.
Yeah, so actually, you know, Ben had 3 kids with his first wife. And one of them is named Serafina. But anyway, there's 3 of them that he had with her. And apparently this is J-Lo's, like, 4th or 5th marriage or something like that. And
4th.
You know, fourth. And she was also with Puffy Combs until there was a drive-by shooting, and she decided she was out of that relationship in a hurry. Anyway, no, I appreciated your comments about John Catsimatidis when you opened up. I listen to that channel all the time. I think that's a crime. We have the Stasi at work in this country right now. Anybody who had anything to do with anybody who had anything to do with Trump, they're going after. So, yeah, it's upsetting.
Trump had dinner the night of his conviction with John Catsimatidis. Therefore, they're going to watch John Catsimatidis. Had dinner with him that night.
Yeah, and did you see how Trump was hailed when he went to that, you know, that fight the other night? I mean, man, they applauded that guy. They you know, chanted, "We love you," and all this stuff. I mean, you know, he was like a conquering hero at that, or something.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sue. And what's interesting is this is what the people who hate Trump don't understand. When they look at the people who like Trump, they don't understand that the people who like Trump do not like Trump to the degree that the others hate him. It's not an even match of emotion. The reason people like Trump in terms of voting for him is not because they think he's a wonderful guy. They are aware of every flaw the man has. But the difference is that the other part of the equation, they don't have freedom in. And the freedom is to pay any price for milk, to pay any price for gas, to pay any price for rent, mortgages. Whereas the people who really hate Trump, they're, that part of their lives is covered and good for them. But they have money. The people who have money have the freedom to have intellectual conversations and philosophical conversations about this horrible man. Meanwhile, the people who are going to vote for Trump, by and large, they don't have the freedom to pay anything for gas, rent, milk. They don't have that freedom. That's why they're voting for Trump, not because they think he's a wonderful guy, not because they think they agree with his philosophy, but because they can't afford milk. That's what it is. And the arrogance of people who live in New York and Beverly Hills and who you know, spend $1,000 a week on after school entertainment for their children, they have the economic freedom to be philosophical about who's president, but the rest of us don't. You know, I my God, where I drive to the worst part of town to buy gas because it's cheapest. You want cheap gas? Go deep into the ghetto, and you will find cheap gas, probably mixed with, you know, water and Boone's Farm. But the fact is that I have to, if you're poor or if you're on the edge, Sue, it is exhausting to buy food because you can't just go to Trader Joe's or Food Emporium. You can't just go to one place and buy everything. You have to go to the store where you know the milk is cheapest, where the bread is cheapest, where the produce is cheapest. And then you're going to go to the store that's a little more expensive for the meat and fish, aren't you, Sue?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was at the Giant the other day, which is the cheapest store in my area, and I had to spend $1.99 for one small container of yogurt, the 5-ounce container of plain yogurt. It was $2.
Yes, Sue. This is the real world. When I go food shopping, I go to one store that I know has the cheapest milk, but everything else is more expensive. So I just buy that milk. But what does that mean? That means I have to park, walk to the back of the store because the milk is strategically always in the back of the store, and bring it forward and get in line. It's a half hour to buy milk because I have to go where it's cheapest. You're going to be jealous when I tell you this. I can get milk for $1.95 a gallon.
Wow. Good.
Right. And then there are weird things, like we have cats. And believe it or not, the most expensive supermarket in my area is the one that has the cheapest cat litter. Not Walmart, not Save-A-Lot, not Aldi's, not Target. No, the expensive, fancy, gourmet grocery store has the cheapest litter. Who knew? And it's not a little. It's $10 cheaper than Walmart. $10.
Wow.
All right,
and
so
then
you're the
you
best.
Yeah. Driving from one to the other.
Yeah, it's a half a day that I have to take up for groceries because of our great leadership. Thank you very much, Sue. I appreciate your call. I know you're a fan, and I'm grateful for that. It's 11:28. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling Every Night. I am tired of being poor because I take care of my kids. How about you? I am tired of having to pay. What are we up to now? It's I'm up to $12 at Walmart for a pound of ground beef. And I take the fatty kind because it to me it makes a better hamburger. But I am tired of paying so much money for everything, whereas a few years ago, it was much cheaper. We're talking 25% increases minimum in all the basic food. Egg, milk, yogurt, cottage cheese, sour cream, fruit, produce. We're looking at 25% increases, and I am sick of it. And when I hear that jerk president say, well, you know, the prices of food is higher, but they have more money to spend. What?
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
Put that on camera. You're a creep.
All right, we're going to put these meters right into the red. Right into the red.
The girl's got plenty of loving, yeah. Ask me how I know, and I'll tell you. She used to be my girl. I respect her. When she was mine, I used to neglect her. Oh, she wanted more than but as long as I live,
I'm telling you. If you're taking antidepressants, do whatever your doctor says. If you're feeling sad, down, being annoyed, you listen to the OJs. You don't have to listen to their whole album or the marginal songs. You just have to listen to, like, half of this.
So smart, you can't beat her again. Oh.
And you know what's great about watching videos of the OJs? What's great about watching video of the OJs is you're looking at professionals. These are people who know exactly how to entertain us. And I get such a thrill whenever I watch anybody who is a craftsman, a watchmaker, a shoemaker, an airline pilot. Anybody who is so good at what they do, it's who they are. And that's what it's like to watch the OJs. You know what I bet? I bet the OJs have no demands for what goes in the dressing rooms. I bet they don't care if it's all yellow M&Ms. I bet you they don't care what kind of bottled water it is. I bet you they don't care if there's an ionizer. I promise you, when the OJs are performing like Hanson, they come out on time. They finish on time. They're sober, and they know all the words. The freaking OJs. My gosh. It's so much fun to listen and to pay attention to people who really know what they're doing. It's so rare. Now then you go to TikTok and you hear this guy.
We're guys. We keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man. In case he comes to town.
What?
So he won't take me down to his lair.
Big hit on TikTok.
What are you talking about? Underground.
And, you know, Jennifer Lopez canceled the rest of her tour. She canceled her concert series for the rest of the season and apologized. She blamed trouble, needing to pay attention to her family. Others say they may not have been selling the tickets that they should have been selling. Patricia Heaton. Patricia played the wife on Home Improvement. And she's now saying that she was paid less than half of what Tim Allen was paid. Now she's saying it. How many years has that been off the air? More than 10, more than a dozen, Home Improvement. She's saying that the the show was generating, she was paid less than half of what Tim Allen was paid. You realize when the show was originally conceived, he didn't have a wife. The network said you have to have her, and it must be Patricia Heaton. And finally, to get it on the air, he agreed to that. And he had this huge number one hit show. This was a big hit show for a long time. But she says she wasn't paid half of what Tim Allen was paid. She's telling us this now. The reason the show stopped running was she quit. She didn't want to do it anymore. That would suggest that she was very powerful and had stepped up and said, no, you have to pay me X to continue. They would have. But she didn't do that. Over 10 years since the show was canceled. Now she's making a fuss. I was paid less than half than the star and the creator of the show. But it gets worse. Gabby Hoffman says this is what it was like to work with Kevin Costner on Field of Dreams in 1989. I didn't feel paternal energy from Kevin Costner. She was 7 at the time of filming. She said, we'll leave it at that. I didn't feel paternal energy from Kevin Costner. Sterling every night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ashley Benson.
The last time I lied, I had plans and I canceled them. And I just said I was very sick and I wasn't, but I was also, you know, that happened.
Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk a little bit about corruption. But I'm not talking about police corruption. I'm talking about corruption a little higher up. So when you go into the New York City Police Academy, from the moment you get hired, they tell you you're going to get fired. They tell you if you screw around on any level, you're going to be out of a job, and they're going to make sure you're prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. They tell you that a free cup of coffee is going to lead to worse things, and you're going to become this corrupt cop. They bring in district attorneys who are tasked to prosecute police corruption, come in and give these fiery sermons about you rotting away in jail for decades. They bring in NYPD members that have been fired and served jail time to explain that it's not worth it. So NYPD does a pretty good job of letting you know up front, if you're going to screw around, you're going to be out of a job and you may wind up in jail. So as a rookie cop, the first time I got to see corruption was on a much higher level. I'm doing a midnight in a South Bronx precinct as a rookie cop, and I befriended these two cops that had a couple of years more than me, and every now and then they would give me a ride to my foot post, and they were showing me the ropes. So this one particular night on a midnight shift, I drew station house security. So basically, I'm at the beck and call of the desk officer. I'm making sure he gets his coffee. Someone comes into the station house. I interview them first before they get to the desk. It's a quiet night, and these two cops come in with a stolen car arrest with 3 or 4 prisoners. And one of the prisoners was a female, and she kept insisting she had to use the phone. Well, after they took her pedigree information and searched everyone, they let her make a phone call. Well, within 20 minutes of her making the phone call, the desk phone starts ringing off the hook. And there's calls coming in from One Police Plaza, the borough. They want to know everything about this arrest, why these people were arrested. So we couldn't figure out really what was going on. Well, the next thing you know, the duty captain shows up and he starts interviewing the desk officer, starts interviewing the cops. Well, what had happened was one of the passengers of that stolen car's mother was a New York State Assemblywoman. And when she called her mother started calling her friends and they started calling up the station house. Ultimately, what happened was the duty captain told the two cops, you're going to have to avoid these arrests and cut these people loose. So it was a stolen vehicle with a small amount of drugs in the car, but that didn't seem to matter because the arrests were voided. And the duty captain told the arresting officer, you should be more careful who you arrest next time, officer. But like the old saying goes, what comes around goes around. And that assemblywoman a couple of years later got hung up in a corruption scandal where she wound up having to serve a couple of years probation. So for more NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Laughing in the Line of Duty.
I didn't do my job. We had J.B. Bakery on earlier, and he came up with a brilliant recipe, a simple recipe. Selena, actually, it's Selena's mother's recipe for a chocolate cream pie that's easy to make. It's a no-bake pie. And she included photos of each step, and it looks insane. It looks so good. And I want you to have this recipe for the chocolate cream pie from JB Bakery from Selena's mom. All you do is you send me an email to my real email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And you send me your real email address, and I will send it to you. No one's going to bother you. No one's going to call you 20 times and tell you that your repair insurance has run out. None of that. Just send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will send you back the recipe for Selena's mother's chocolate cream pie with photos and easy step instructions, and it looks insane. This is fascinating. It's by that ancient hippie group, Gun Hill Rose, from the 70s, Gun Hill Road. And Gun Hill Road has put together with Matthew Harrison a fairly remarkable and fun video and fun song called Artificial Intelligence. No robots were injured in the production of this song.
All men, persons, highly intelligent beings are created equal. They are endowed by their creator, creators, with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Self-evident? Is anything self-evident anymore? What the hell is going on? It's mind-boggling.
AI, 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 what's AI?
Ay-ay-ay.
It's mind-boggling to me. I don't know what to believe. Don't know who I can trust. The deception's too much. Who knows where it will lead? Everything that I read is overwhelmingly fake. We gotta slam on the brakes. World's spinning too fast. I don't see how we can last. Let's all take a step back. Way too much to unpack. I wish that we could revert to a time way back when. But that won't happen again. Artificial intelligence, that ain't so smart.
Self-driving cars? Facial recognition?
Voice impersonation?
AI, 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 what's AI? AI, what's AI? Where's AI? What AI? It's all AI.
Humanoid robots. not O'Bannon. Deep learning. Hallucination.
I guess we'll never get bored, but it's a double-edged sword. We might lose our jobs, become obsolete slobs. Facial recognition is a big imposition. The thought of deepfakes really gives me the shakes. Manipulation of facts, the way that we interact, is lacking human design. We're in a freefall decline. And now that we're hurled into this digital world, there isn't a hack, there's no turning back. Artificial intelligence that is so smart, is it real or fake? I can't tell them apart. Artificial intelligence, let's all get real. This train has gone off the rails, we've lost control. Cognitive computing, large language model, big data, AI, 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 what's AI, 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 what's AI, AI, what's AI, where's AI, that's AI, it's all AI, AI, where's AI, why?
All right, that's Gun Hill Road with Matthew Michael Harrison. And you can see the best version of that, a secret version of, at obsolete slobs. That's us. Obsoleteslobs.com. Obsoleteslobs.com. That's the website to see this pretty cool video of Gun Hill Road and Michael Harrison. And what's the name of it? Artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, which is pretty much all we deal in. It's like, artificial intelligence is the new thing. I'm like, well, no, I've been in radio all my life. That's all there is. It's all obsolete. It's all, yeah, that, whatever I was trying to say. Yeah, we should do this for Pride. Coming up, we have Dave Scott with all of the latest information from UFO land. Plus, I have to do something that I hate. Maybe you can give me advice. I have to do a family reunion in July. My family, blessedly, never had a reunion because they would have busted the RICO Act. This is a Jersey family. Jersey family. We're terrified of the RICO Act. But my wife, who comes from the Midwest, where pretty much all they do is watch the Browns, go to school, bake, consume food, and have family reunions. I'm going to have to go to a family reunion in July. And the first one I went to was particularly horrible, and we'll talk about that. I really don't know how to deal with it. My number is 888-688-9258, Sterling, every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
It's 12:05 across the country. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling, every damn night. And now, weather with Dr. Dave Iser. Sterling celebrates Pride Month. I have an email here from Brad. Hey there, I'm listening to your show right now. I tried calling a few times, no answer. But I was listening to your story about Home Improvement, and you said Patricia Heaton, which I did. Can I believe that that's false? I believe that it is Patricia Richardson. Shame on me. You're right. She was the actress that played Dead on Everybody Loves Raymond. I'm right. No, I was talking about Home Improvement. Now I have to look up Home Improvement. Who was the wife on Home Improvement? Because She was saying that she made less than Tim Allen. Now, hold on a second. There's really no reason for this. This was a huge hit show. And if I was a professional talk show host, I would have prepped this thing. But it came over late. Patricia Richardson. Yes, Patricia Richardson was the wife on Home Improvement. Why did I get that wrong? And she says she was earning less than half of what Tim Allen was paid. And my question is, well, Patricia, why didn't you bring it up at the time? Why didn't you raise this issue at the time instead of 40 years later? And then Gabby Hoffman, who was a kid, like 7 years old, in the movie Field of Dreams, commenting about Kevin Costner, quote, "I didn't feel paternal energy from Kevin Costner." The actress, who was 7 at the time, explained. We'll leave it at that. She didn't feel paternal energy from Kevin Costner. All right, when do men win? He wasn't kind enough, open enough. He wasn't paternal enough. He didn't give her enough attention when she was 7 on Field of Dreams. And then every other actress is either saying I was underpaid on a job that they accepted the offer and had an agent, or the guy molested her. That seems to be the scale. I wasn't given enough attention. I was underpaid, and or I was molested. That seems to be the entire scope of experience of actresses who have worked in the past 50 years. And, oh my gosh, Dan Schneider made me give him a massage. Ooh, oh my gosh, ooh. None of them quit. None of them quit. Dave Scott, here's an update from outer space.
Sailing every night, lost in space. Mission control, Dave Scott. Dave Scott.
Look at that. Walter M. Sterling. In just seconds, we're going to go on a break. Dave Scott is a professional broadcaster. Dave, we have 90 seconds, and then I'll do something I never do and invite you to share more information after our break, okay?
Right on. Let's get to it. How about Japan getting into the UFO story, Walt? They are taking this debate of UFOs right into the government halls, and a new group of the investigators is wanting to have clarity on what's happening over Japan's skies, much like we're hearing here in North America. And we will get back to that once you get back from break.
Well, you know, I believe the greatest amateur move of any talk show host is to announce a break. And a bigger amateur move is to hold the caller or the guest on through the break. I never do it. I've never done it before. But we're dealing with, you'll appreciate this, Dave, a new clock. And the reason we're dealing with a new clock is because this is being distributed by two networks, separately, two networks, to feed the network. Two different satellite services are doing it. It is the most complicated, jerry-rigged, Rubik Cube thing imaginable. And therefore, the break's been moved to 12 instead of a floating break at 15. It is alien technology, Dave. We're dealing with alien technology. And Dave Scott is a great sport. If you want to reach Dave, what's your email address, Dave?
Dave@spacedoutradio.com.
Dave will continue with us in just seconds. Sterling all night.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by career goals.
I want to be a gynecologist. If that's so, then I want good reasons why. You are the reason why, Ms. Marquez.
Dave Scott, our expert on all things UFO, a major Canadian broadcaster. Dave, please share with us the information you gave moments ago. Start that again, and then please provide any other information you have that's breaking news.
Well, Walt, in Japan, their fascination with UFOs, which really hasn't hit here North America, the news that they are interested in what's flying in our sky, well, it's finally heading to the halls of government. A new group there will make the investigation of UFO incidents a higher priority, as we are seeing around the world. The UAP Clarification League for Security-Oriented National Security has been chaired by two members of parliament who say they've actually witnessed UFOs on their land. The group's mission is apparently to press the government to track and investigate UFO data and share the information, get this, with the United States.
Oh.
It calls the possibility of the phenomena a major potential threat to national security. And here's the thing, Walt. You know, this is a U.S. initiative because of Japan going to the threat narrative. We have seen other countries like Canada and the United Kingdom both using their UAP studies as scientific studies to what's going on and what they could do about them. But not Japan. They are following the American way in going with the threat to national security.
That's their justification about a threat to national security?
I don't really understand it, but
no,
that's where they are going. So Japan's chief cabinet secretary, Yoshimasa Hayashaki, has said that, well, yeah, I think I even got that right, said that while government has never confirmed a UFO sighting, it recognizes the national security implications. It stipulated that every effort should be made to report and analyze unidentified objects in the air that may affect the defense and national security of Japan. However, not everybody's on board, Walt. Nope.
Amazing.
A mixed reaction on social media. One poster said, these politicians have nothing better to do, so they turn to UFOs. This is not in the public's interest at all. But apparently, Japan has been a hotbed of sightings, especially around the volcano Mount Fuji, which is also interesting because on the West Coast, you could put cameras up at any of the big volcanoes from Mount Baker all the way south to Mount Shasta, and literally almost every night people are seeing UFOs over those volcanoes.
How long do you think before the government says, you can't put cameras there anymore?
Well, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. The mountain's kind of big, especially Mount Fuji. But I can tell you this, Walt. The fact that they are going with the threat narrative is a little bit interesting that they are taking that route. Because I know people in the United States involved in UFOs were really upset when Canada wouldn't jump on the bandwagon for the threat narrative. Because let's face it, Walt, you know as well as I do, the minute you mention the word threat and government, it means budget.
Oh, God, you're right. Hey, Dave Scott, you're the best. We look forward to talking to you every night, Sterling every night. Thank you very much for being on the show, Dave.
See you tomorrow, buddy.
And it's Pride Month. This is when the sap runs. This is when young men and young women fall in love with everything. It's a time where young men who have not fallen in love with a woman yet or a guy yet, they can pretty much fall in love with anything that they see. And these are the nights. These are the nights when I was a kid and I was in my small bedroom, safe as could be. Every window was open. There was a big hall fan down the hall where it belongs. And it was always pulling the hot air out. And I used to say to my parents, can it blow in? Wouldn't it be better if it blew in? Of course, they were right. They wanted the heat to get out of the house. But I wanted the breeze and the honeysuckle and the beautiful trees and that magic sulfur light from a street light, which is beauty in itself, a sulfur light street light. And you and I would dream of the romance and the love and the light that we wanted, the life that we would have. It's a magical time of year. It is like the primordial ooze of the suburbs that's growing the kids, growing the young men and women and their visions of romance, and the courage that a guy had to work up to ask the girl out just for ice cream or a movie or the ultimate, the dance, the school dance. This took, there is nothing, nothing that takes as much courage as a teenage guy getting up the courage to ask a girl out for the first time. It took me months, maybe years, to ask a girl named Catherine to go out with me. And I couldn't believe when she said yes. We were both nervous as hell. We saw a high school play, a play at the high school. I walked her home, and absolutely nothing happened. Her father was in the Marines. She had seven brothers who were all jocks. They were ready to beat me up just for no reason. But I'll tell you the one thing that I have learned and that I pass along to you, young man, young lady, that will absolutely promise that you will not have sex is bad breath. And now I have discovered with my daughters a new product that gets rid of the bad breath. It's called Zelman's Minty Mouth. Zelman's Minty Mouth. And if you want to have sex, you need to get Zelman's Minty Mouth. You've tried gums and mints. Well, now it's time to try Zelman's Minty Mouth. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way other mints can't. Because it's not just a mint. Let me say it again. It's not just a mint. Listen to me. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow, a deliciously powerful and unique mint coated with parsley seed oil, clinically tested against the toughest offenders. What are those? Whatever you ate tonight, plus garlic and onions. It works on coffee and smoker's breath. You pop two or three in your mouth. You suck on the minty coating. And when the minty coating comes off, you swallow this tiny, tiny capsule. You'll have confidence, but more importantly, you'll have great breath. Here's what you do. You go to Zelman, Zelmins.com. No, this is for real. Zelmins.com. And do it now. Zelmins.com right now. And you get 15% off when you use Walter at checkout. Zelmins.com. The code is Walter. 15% off. It's Zelmins.com. You will not have sex if you have bad breath. That should be their slogan. I just made that up. But it's a fact. I've tried these. My teenage daughters who date aggressively have tried these. And they work. The coating comes off, dissolves in your mouth, and then you swallow the rest of it. Systematically gets rid of the bad breath. Z-E-L-M-I-N-S. Put in the promo code Walter. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Are we having fun tonight? Is this spectacular? I think so. What was that thing you wanted to play? What was that? That we were going to play at 15? Hello?
When you go to Yelp to find a great gentleman's club, you usually get a good feeling about whether the place is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to go enjoy some jiggling and dancing, or whether it's bad. The Office Gentleman's Club has a 2.8 out of 5 average, and the reviews are all either 5-star or 1-star. It's crazy. Well, at 2 o'clock Saturday at the Office Gentlemen's Club near West Van Dorn, and South Folsom Street in beautiful, beautiful Lincoln, Nebraska. Well, apparently a little bit of a kerfuffle at closing time. This club is open every, well, Sunday they have cut back hours for church. Sunday they're open 7 to 2, 7P to 2A. And the rest of the week, 3P to 2A. Well, the club is closed. Argument in the parking lot. Shooting goes on. Second suspect arrested. Christopher Z. Johnson, 32, of Lincoln, picked up on suspicion of two counts of first-degree murder and two counts of using a firearm to commit a felony. Mr. Johnson went on the run all the way to Omaha, so, I don't know, 45 minutes away. Booze, frauds, and testosterone are three things that rarely do well together, especially after midnight. My rule, enjoy your time. Enjoy the lovely ladies in the champagne room. Don't get into an argument with some dopes, because you never know who's going to pull out a gat and start pulling the trigger. Rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat-tat with the gat. Christopher Z. Johnson in custody. We remember Carlos Silva and Terrell Jones. Their memory will be a blessing. From the champagne room, this is Elo Hool. Sterling at night.
All right, it's 28 past the hour. Sterling every night. That's right. We're on every night, Monday through Friday, on WPHT in Philadelphia. You can listen to that on the Odyssey app. But more importantly, you could listen to it on this radio station. All you have to do is harass the management of the station. Find out who the program director is, the general manager. Beyond that, good luck. You're not going to find it out. And send them harassing notes saying it must be done. You must put Sterling on every night. It's from 9 to midnight on the East Coast, and it's just it's what you want. There's no screaming at Democrats. There's just screaming at them. Them. Who are them? The tax man, the guy who fixes the car, the nightmare of customer service for your cell phone. Is that a nightmare? And the odd fact that you and I today, as we go about our day, progressively, we are not safe. And we are not safe because every day it's like you and I are talking to customer service all the time. Am I right? Let me know how you feel about that. 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
Kendall, Aviva Vegas, welcome to Sterling Every Night.
Kendall. Howdy, Walter.
What were you doing?
No, hey.
Why weren't you listening on the phone? What were you doing just now?
I was listening. I love that jingle. It was so nice and twangy.
Yeah. I want to get rid of the twangy ones and stay with the pop ones. I want to stay with the Motown and poppy ones. I don't like the 20 ones. I want them to be like that. Now, listen, we will send you the MP3 of that so you can have it and you can put it on your voicemail, all right?
Thank you.
Then, yeah, and then you can come in on cue.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, rather than, they're singing about me, la, 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 la. No, hi. We need you on the air.
I'm right here.
Do you have news for us, Kendall? Aviva Vegas? I talked to Bill White about you this week. Bill White's the man who runs KFBK in Sacramento. a brilliant programmer, by the way, who I'm sure is grossly underpaid. And, you know, they have a new market manager. Did you hear about that? The woman who is the market manager has been promoted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard a little bit. I didn't hear too many details.
She's been promoted. All good. Everybody's happy with each other. And I said to Bill, you didn't want that job, did you? He goes, no, that's a sales job, which is pretty much saying, no, that's a job for Satan. When a radio guy says, oh, no, that's a sales job. And I said to a program director in Philadelphia when a similar job became open, I said to her, I said, well, you know, that's a really good job. Do you want that job? No, that's a sales job. And she was also appalled at the very thought of doing a sales job. It's a very hard thing to sell air.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Selling air, that's a hard job. And I have nothing but respect for the people who do it well at radio stations across the country, especially the ones who sell it at stations that air Sterling on Sunday, because it's a really hard job. Kendall, do you have a fetish report for us? Do you have a fetish update, or would you like me to discuss something else?
Well, I was reading a story earlier that you had sent me about a masturbation workshop class.
Yes. Yes, please share that with us without going into too much detail.
Well, without too much detail, it was a story about a group of women that were getting together to masturbate together. And I thought it was a pretty interesting story. Thank you for sending it to me. I read all through it, and at the very end of it, I was surprised to see that a lot of the women were saying that they no longer wanted to even masturbate alone anymore. They loved the class so much that they wanted to continue to be in this masturbation workshop.
Where was that masturbation workshop? And this article was like in the New York Times, wasn't it? Something crazy official like that? Oh, no, it was it was in
Mashable.
Mashable, which is like the New York Times, except online.
Yeah, I believe it was maybe in East London, but it looks like they had all gotten together. They were in a room with yoga mats and spa-like music and mirrors and blankets, and they were given lubrication and coconut oil, and they all got together, and they masturbated together. And it was very freeing for a lot of the women, it sounded like.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I respect them for doing something like that and exploring their bodies more and their pleasure. And I was reading the article, too, that, this isn't anything really new. Women have been doing this, like, since the 70s, really. A lot of punk bands were into masturbating together and talking more about masturbation on a female side. In fact, Walt, the song Open Your Box by Yoko Ono is all about masturbation and being really open about it and talking about it. And that came out 1971. So it's been a while now that women are getting together and becoming more empowered and masturbating together.
How are you empowered as a woman by masturbating with other women? Where is the power? Where is the power drawn from there?
Well, you know, Walter, I guess it would come from them having like a climactic orgasm altogether. They feel really powerful about that. It's hard for me to really answer very honestly with this one because I've never been to a masturbation workshop. So, but I imagine that they.
Aviva Vegas. Kendall in Aviva Vegas. Thank you for being on Sterling every night. All right, it's 41 past the hour. I'm really happy that I don't know the Yoko Ono catalog. I feel that I've reached a level of success that I feel no obligation to know the horrible, horrible Yoko Ono catalog. We're celebrating Pride Month.
Being
I've discussed with other talk show hosts this interesting phenomena about Pride Month and about gay topics. And over the years, I have introduced a number of topics that are gay topics. No response. You don't want to talk about it at all, which I just think is interesting.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Ultimately, you got the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
And you say it was damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
Who cares?
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the owl and dawn.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt for you from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels. Maida turned around and led Callum to the staircase at the back of the room. Her heart fluttered in her chest as she ascended the steps. Am I? Were we really doing this? She chose not to turn on the lights once they were safely inside her bedroom. As soon as the door clicked shut, Callum captured her with one arm around her waist. Their lips met in the darkness, and she ran her hands along the crisp fabric of his shirt. His fervent kiss filled her with unpredicted longing, a hunger she needed to satiate. Without breaking their contact, he backed toward the bed. They sat down, and he dragged his lips toward her neck, skimming along her delicate skin. "I've been dreaming of this since I first met you," he said near her ear. His words were sweet, yet there was a hint of a savage growl in his voice. "I couldn't get my mind off you all week." Residual doubts lingered in her mind, their sharp barbs piercing through the arousal he incited. She barely knew this man in front of her, and she couldn't help but wonder how many other women had been on the receiving end of his subtle charm and tempting kisses. Maida pulled back and stared at him. His eyes shimmered in the pale glow of the moonlight. Beneath their genuine affection, her own desire was mirrored in the depths of his gaze. Reaching out, she trailed her fingers along the side of his face, her thumb brushing across his lower lip. Whatever his intentions were, they didn't matter. She wanted him. His hands moved to the first closure of her blouse. One by one, he unfastened the buttons with painstaking care. He pushed the lightweight garment away and traced along the upper edge of one side of her bra. It wasn't enough. He needed to feel more of him against her. Copying his movements, she unbuttoned the top of his shirt. She progressed halfway down before he nudged her hands away. With a devilish smirk, Callum pulled the shirt off over his head and let it flutter to the floor. It was soon joined by the thin white tank he had worn underneath. He wrapped his arms around her body and removed her bra. Maida's blood sizzled through her veins as their lips met again. She pushed against the firm muscles of his chest, and they toppled over, their legs dangling off the bed. Two sets of hands roamed over exposed flesh and quivering muscles. He kissed a path down her neck, his mouth gliding over her collarbone. "So beautiful," he murmured, his steamy breath skating over her skin. Her breath caught in her throat, and she clutched at his bare shoulders. The pressure of her fingertips seemed to spur him forward, and his hands abandoned her chest in favor of the waistband of her skirt. Lust clouded her mind, and they both fumbled with the zipper as she tried to wriggle out of it. Callum sat up. "What's wrong?" he asked. "Nothing," he said. "I just figured you'd be more comfortable if we, you know, were all the way on the bed." She giggled. After kicking her shoes off, she swung her legs up and scooted back so her head landed on the pillow. clad only in her panties, she lay back and watched him shed the remainder of his clothing. He stooped to unlace his boots and set them to the side. Straightening, he pushed his pants off his narrow waist and stepped out of them. In the muted light, he could make out the sprinkling of yellow-gold curls adorning his chest. They led her gaze down across the well-muscled plane of his stomach. At the first sight of him, Maida's body ached with a raw emptiness needing to be filled. Every part of her yearned to leap toward him and fling herself at his tantalizing frame. She waited for him to come to her. He sat next to her on the bed. I think I better stop there, but you know there's always more. That was an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels, which you can find on Amazon, where it's available in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon.
Our first house nearly never got built. My wife was so bent on helping the builder. Woman, I said, leave that poor man alone and make us some coffee. Not that kind you've been buying either. Instant Maxwell House coffee. Red jar, good to the last drop. Maxwell House. The instant that tastes like coffee. Be a good little Maxwell House wife, and we'll be happy here for a long time. Maxwell House coffee. Instant and ground.
Be a good little Maxwell House wife. Can you imagine the parades, the protests, the letters, the anger. If that commercial was made today and not in 1968, can you imagine that? Oh, did you miss it? Here, listen again.
Our first house nearly never got built. My wife was so bent on helping the builder. Woman, I said, leave that poor man alone and make us some coffee. Not that kind you've been buying either. Instant Maxwell House coffee. Red jar, good to the last drop. Maxwell House. The instant that tastes like coffee. Be a good little Maxwell House wife, and we'll be happy here for a long time. Maxwell House coffee. Instant and ground.
I have to do something I absolutely don't want to do. No, not wash my socks. I have to do a family reunion in July, and I'm going to have to talk to you more about this next week, because this is my ultimate discomfort. My family never did a family reunion. That wasn't going to be happening. Let me just do two other quick things. I've got this incredible chocolate cream pie recipe and these great chocolate chip cookie recipes from JB Bakery. If you send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, I will send them to you with photos. Easy to make, insanely good. Chocolate cream pie recipe, and let me know how it is. Make it and let me know how it is. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Send me an email. I'll send you one back. And then, no, we're very, very happy to have a brand new Midnight Misfit supporter, which is Zelman's Minty Mouth. You go now to Zelmins.com, put in the name Walter, and you will get these breath mints that are completely new. You dissolve a little of the coating, and then you swallow it, and it systematically gets rid of your bad breath. You will not have bad breath. And if you have bad breath, you will not have sex. Guaranteed. Zelmins, Zelmins, brand new. Support them so that they continue to support Midnight Misfits. So I've got this crappy family reunion coming up in July. And my family never had one. My side of the family never had a family reunion and won't, because we know better. Why would we do that? Instead, Appalachia is coming to one spot, and I have to go with my beautiful wife and children for a family reunion. I have no interest, nothing to discuss with them, and my fear, oh God, they're going to ask me about what I do. And then they're going to enter the conversation. They're going to tell me about something they know about radio, and I've got to be polite. And then they're going to ask me, what do you talk about? And I'll say, I talk about this. I go, what? The family reunion. I talk about the family reunion. Oh, well, where can we hear it? Nowhere. You can't hear it. I promise you can't hear it. And I'll tell them that the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
I love this week's Walter Sterling Show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it so.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Sterling Show.
My classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Sterling Show.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.
Hey, babe, your Instacart order's here.
Yes, it's